The Radio Ashford Feel Good Hour with Sam Griffin and Nigel Jones. Get set for the weekend with a healthier, happier you. Friday lunchtime from 12:30 on the Sam Griffin Show. Radio Ashford 1071 FM. Or on your smart speaker. The thing to do here is to reframe it.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is, I always say to people, look, you can only run halfway into a field. Because so if you looked at, say, January as a field and you were going to stop drinking for the whole month or stop smoking or do something or change your diet for the month, that's your resolution. Then if that's the whole field, well, as soon as you're halfway, you've run halfway in.
Yeah.
Now you're running out. So, and this is really key because you've done the hard work, you've done the graft.
Yeah.
So look at it that way. So you reframe it. And you know, if you're having a craving, or the voice is saying, you know, I fancy having a drink, or I fancy eating something like that I didn't want to eat, then really that's actually showing you that you're winning. Because the fact that you're sort of having this craving means you're moving forward. You're out of your comfort zone and you're starting to move into the new you.
So let's say that. Are they failure, or are they just part of that process then? Is that how you would look at it?
Yeah, so I always say there's no such thing as failure. There's only learning.
Yeah.
So and that's a really, really crucial point. So I talked about reframes earlier, and what's important is, like, if you think of, like, what you're going through as a photograph, if you put a new frame around it, you can change what the picture looks like. You know, so if you've got like a picture and all of a sudden you put a really nice sort of like big gold edge around it, then it looks different.
Yeah.
Or if you take another perspective on it, whether you look at it from above or the side, you actually get a different view. So a blip, for example, could be it's only one drink. Reframe it into, you know, I failed could have been the frame, but no, only one drink could be the frame is another frame you put on it. You could be like, I'm back to square one, could be like a blip, but no, reframe it into, well, it was just one cigarette. I've not failed. So you actually sort of, like, you know, changing the way you actually frame the whole thing is so important. So a blip is not a failure at all. It's you've got to learn from it. And there's this classic thing about sort of perception versus perspective. So if you see things through different eyes, you're actually taking perspective on things.
Yeah.
So step outside yourself and say, well, you know, okay, I've had a blip, but actually I've done really well. I've done sort of, you know, 19-20 days, and I had a cigarette yesterday, or I had a drink yesterday. Well, that doesn't matter because you literally did 19 days before. Yeah, so take, you know, look at it as just, it was, yeah, exactly, you're running out of the field. Look at it as just one thing that you did. It's not the whole story. It's not your story. And that's all about reframing. So a good thing to do is pretend you're wearing a pair of glasses. So put a new pair of glasses on, which are, I'm going to actually take some perspective on this. I'm going to actually look back through these new glasses and say, well, look, I've done really well over the last 20 days. One little thing is not going to trip me up. And like you just said, I did 19 days. I'm going to go and do another 19 now. And that's the way to frame it.
Yeah. I think that's the healthiest way to respond, isn't it? But, you know, any other tips for mental and physical ways to respond to these blips?
Yeah. I think the key thing is there's a great parable called the parable of the second arrow. And this is everything in your life that happens to you. Think of it as a first arrow. So that might be I've had a drink, or I've had a cigarette, or I've missed one day from my journey. It's always followed by a second arrow, and the second arrow is the way that you think about it, and that can be self-criticism, and it can literally blow it all out of proportion. So that second arrow is the one that actually will take you off track. Not the first one. The first one is, okay, I had a blip. But it's the second one, if it hits you, that literally will make you start feeling guilty and shame and starting to say to myself, well, I failed. And the reality is, if you know that second arrow is coming, just let it fly by. Just stand out of the way and take the first arrow out of you. Take the fact that you had that one drink out and just throw it away, because you need to reframe this whole thing. And the second arrow, the parable of the second arrow, is a really, really good way of doing that.
I love that.
Right. So this is all about change. And what's basically happening is there are two voices in your head. There's the old you, the craving, saying, go on, have one won't hurt. And the reason why it feels uncomfortable is because you've created a new you,
yeah,
which is, I don't want that. I want to live without that. And so there's a little bit of a battle going on. And I like to sort of think of these two voices like two sort of wolves. Yeah, like two wolves having a little sort of an argument inside your head. Yeah. So you know, the old wolf is, you know, it's going to be stuff like, you know, a drink won't hurt you. Go on, have one now. Or you've had a hard day. You deserve it. And, you know, it's that sort of stuff. Just this once, it won't matter. And, you know, we've all heard this. And yet it can start to get on top of you if you let it. So think of it as an old wolf, and it's talking to you. And this old wolf normally is triggered by something. So it could be a time of the day. So if it's drinking, it might have been 6 o'clock, you've just finished work, you fancy a drink, and all of a sudden the old wolf's there. Yeah, go on, you've worked hard today. Or it might be a location. You've met a friend in a pub or a cafe, and they've had a beer. And so you're being triggered, and that's bringing the old wolf out. So the way to look at this, and I found this really, really powerful, is to imagine that, you know, this new wolf is really, really the one that's going to win through. And what you've got to do is you've got to realize that there's always going to be like this banter going on between these two wolves. But the power is which one you feed, because if you feed the old wolf, he's going to win. So, but if you feed the new wolf, then he'll grow bigger, she'll grow bigger, and eventually the old wolf will die because you're not feeding it. So just remember that there's two wolves, and the one that wins is the one that you feed. So, but really, the fact that you're having that conversation means you're winning, because it's the new you that's evolving. You know, it's not a conversation unless there's a new you, and this new you is like growing bigger and bigger and bigger, and therefore the craving or the old wolf is being seen.
Now, obviously, that's one top tip. Is there any other tips?
Yeah, so a good way is to use a metaphor like a waves crashing on a beach. So when I stopped drinking over 5 years ago, I used to go down to the beach and just watch the waves crash onto the shore, because a craving is really like that. You know, you know it's only going to last a few seconds. I think the maximum they last is 30 seconds. Yeah, a push you might get it to 45, but it's not going to be more than that. So think about it, like you've got a 45 second window to sort of get rid of the craving. And look at the waves on the beach. You know, they come in, they grow, they get big, but then they crash and they get small, and then they go away, they disappear. And you know, if you can't make it to the beach, watch a YouTube video. You can watch lovely images of waves crashing. And so that's a tip, is to think of it that way. The other thing is to actually think about willpower as something that actually is like a resource. And, you know, you can literally save it up during the day. So it's proven psychologically that we can bank our willpower and keep it for when we need it. So if you think about, say, I don't know, Formula One or something like that, you know, they save the energy on their battery so they can go a bit quicker in the straight. And this is exactly the same thing. If you know 6 o'clock is going to be a bit of a tough time for you, then keep your willpower for then, because you know you're going to need it then to sort of, you know, to jump in. And the other thing about sort of these cravings is what you can do is use some energy. You know, if you have a craving, do something. Sort of jump up and down on the spot, go for a walk, drink some water, do something different.
Turn up some music and sing along to it.
Exactly, yeah.
And that'll help it pass.
Well, exactly. It'll pass so quickly. It'll pass really, really quickly.
Now, Mulldive Steve's been in touch. He said, New Year's resolutions are easy. I said I would go fishing twice a week. I'm managing at least three times at the moment.
Brilliant.
I also said I would wouldn't eat broccoli, which I've stuck with. Honestly, there's always one. There's always one. I'm glad you enjoyed the fishing. That's what retirement is all about. Now, if someone falls off the wagon completely, which again does happen, I've been there, especially with alcohol though, mine's more food related, how can we avoid that massive spiral?
Okay, so I really love this because if you look at where this term comes from, falling off the wagon, if you go back to like the sort of turn, I think it was the turn of the 20th century, so the late 1800s. Yeah, so there was a big temperance movement at the time where there was lots of people drinking and the temperance movement was to stop drinking. And at the same time as that was happening, the streets were pretty dirty in those days. And they used to have these water carts that would go around the actual streets, washing down the streets. And they were called water carts. And people who were stopping drinking said, I would rather drink the water off the water cart than alcohol. So they were on the water cart or on the cart, and that evolved into being on the wagon. So that's where it comes from. So traditionally you say I'm on the wagon means I'm not drinking. Now if you really analyze the wagon, there's only a few ways you can actually fall off it. So this is really important. So you can jump off, which you can do at your own, it's your decision to do. You can fall off. And that normally is because you're probably standing too close to the edge. And by that, I mean, maybe you really haven't sort of decided that you want to stop drinking or it's not really in your identity yet. So you're dabbling with maybe trying it again. So you fall off. You can get pulled off the wagon, which means you might be some friends who are still drinking or still smoking going, go on, have one. And they grab you and pull you off the wagon. Or you can get pushed off. And that happens when, say, a couple or some friends have decided to do something together, and then one cracks and says, come on, let's go and do it together. So falling off the wagon or getting off the wagon can be in a few ways. But the important thing to remember is this. If you're solidly in the middle of the wagon, then there's no way you can leave it. So I would say, get yourself in the middle of the wagon, put yourself in a room in the middle of the wagon, lock the door in there, so you're in there all the time.
Stay on the wagon.
Yeah, to stay on the wagon. The only person that actually makes you jump off the wagon is you. And that's so important. Absolutely. You're doing it. No one else is doing it. And if you believe someone else is doing it, then you're sort of just sort of, you know, you're living some sort of victim story or some blame game or you know.
It's always someone else.
It's not me. But the reality is, it's you.
100%. We are.
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake people make is they try to do it on their own. And stopping drinking, really, the key to success is to join another tribe. And by that, I mean, find other people who are stopping as well and start hanging around with them. And that doesn't mean you have to sort of, you know, go out with them or anything or meet them. You can meet them online.
Yeah, forums and stuff.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And so the easiest way to do this is to join like a community. And there's lots of them out there. I work with Alcohol Change UK, and they're the charity behind the Dry January Challenge. And they have an app called the Try Dry app, which is free. And it's like a community, because once you join that, you can get daily emails, you can get check-ins, you can talk to other like-minded people in the community groups and the Facebook groups around that. So I think the stats show that the people who do Dry January and download the app, so they're doing the official challenge, have a far, far greater, I think it's double the chance of making it through to the end. And so, you know, I don't know the exact figure, but it's well over like 16, 17 million people start Dry January. But that's the unofficial one. But if there's over 250,000 people downloading the app, and a good percentage of them, over half, actually complete. And so that's one tip I would say is join a tribe. And there's a few out there. There's the Dry, which is DRY, which is an app, which is a great community that's got 20,000 members. There's Life Beyond Booze, which is a Facebook group, really worth joining. A friend of mine runs that, and just again, you're joining a tribe and you're with other people. So I think, you know, there's loads and loads of tips you can do to get you through the month of January and not drinking. And in fact, obviously I wrote a whole book on this called Walking Back to Happiness. But if I was to pick out sort of a few, I would say the key one is to change your identity. So and to a non-drinker from day one. So just say, I'm not a drinker trying to become a non-drinker. I'm now a non-drinker. Yeah. And you know, it's funny, like, you'd look at people's sort of Facebook pages or their Instagram or their social media, whatever their social media is, and a lot of people have a picture of themselves with a drink in their hand.
Yeah.
You know, and so that shows you that alcohol is actually part of who they are. And it really can cut right into someone's identity.
Yeah.
And so it's important that if drinking is your identity, then it's going to be very, very hard for you to change unless you change your identity.
Yeah.
And so it's really upstream stuff, because if you change your identity, everything downstream changes. You know, if you are a non-drinker, then it's so much more straightforward to change your behavior, because non-drinkers don't drink.
Yeah.
And to change your environment, where do you go? Well, I don't hang out in pubs every night, or I don't sort of, you know, go to the off license on my way home from work, because that's downstream. I've changed my identity upstream. So changing your identity for me is probably the biggest thing you can do. It's absolutely massive. And, you know, little tips you can do as well. I always, in the early days, I used to have a calendar on my fridge door. And so every day I would tick off the day which I'd done. Actually, I actually used to tick the day off in the morning, knowing that the whole day was ahead of me, because I was that confident I was going to do it. I decided today I'm not going to have a drink. And, you know, the great thing about putting it on the fridge for me was it was the gateway to the booze. So that's where, you know, you would be opening it to pull out the bottle of wine or have a beer. So, but now I was actually putting a cross on the front of it saying, well, actually, this is another day alcohol free. So, yeah, so having a calendar on the fridge is good. I kept a journal as well, which I think is really important, you know, because you're going through a life-changing process.
Yeah.
And it's really good to sort of write down what happened to you. Did you have a craving? How did you get over that craving? What your triggers? Yeah, exactly, and that's so important, because your journal allows you to grow, because you can learn from your mistakes and you can like read it the next day. And so, well, actually, I went through this a few days ago and I conquered it. So having that there in black and white is really important. Daily journal important. A calendar on the fridge. Read as much as you can. Just get some quick literature books, as they're called, which is, you know, alcohol free living books, and just read about how other people stop or how you can stop drinking, because there's lots of stuff out there. I also sort of say to people, draw a seesaw and put on one side of it all the positive things you still think about alcohol, if there are any, and on the other side have all the negative things. And you'll soon find that side where all the positives that stuff is, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And if you really unpack those positives, you'll find that they're actually, most of them, in fact all of them, are limiting beliefs that you've made up. You know, some people say, I need alcohol to socialize, or I need alcohol to fun, or it gives me a good night's sleep. That's just simply not true. As soon as you start unpacking it and talking about it and analyzing it, you realize that all the positives on the positive side of the seesaw don't exist. They should be all shifted to the negative side. There's some really great ways to do this, and it's really straightforward. I mean, you should look at yourself and say, well, what are the values or the beliefs that I want to get rid of?
Yeah.
Because that's really the start of all this. I am a smoker. I am a drinker. I'm overweight. You know, get rid of it. So immediately say, well, I don't believe that about myself anymore. So you write down the traits that you don't like, right? So that's the first thing to do. And take some time over it. You know, spend a day, 2 days, write it in a journal. Like, right, I'm going to sort of work over this week of the things I don't like about myself. And write them down. Be really honest. And then look at yourself as well and say, well, what are the things I do like about myself that I want to keep? And there'll be loads of great stuff in there. You know, so for me, for example, when I stopped drinking, you know, one of the ones that I wanted to get rid of was I am a drinker. Just wanted to get rid of that. I, you know, someone asked, do you drink? I used to drink. You know, I'd rather say that. That's what I wanted to say. So the other thing is, what traits do you, as I said, do you want to keep? Well, I've always been hardworking. So, yeah, I wanted to keep that. So you can slowly start building up your new identity. You know what you don't want. You know what you've got and you want to keep. The third one's really important. Is what new traits do you want that you don't have at the moment? It's like, what values do you want to add? That might be, well, I want to be calmer. I want to be more consistent. I don't want to be a pleaser anymore, or I don't want to be such a perfectionist. You know, there's loads and loads of different things you can say. Well, you know, this is the new me. This is who I want to become. And so just by doing those three things, getting rid of the old ones, keeping the ones you want, and bringing some new ones, you could start to build up a picture of your new identity. And that's really powerful, because when you change your story about who you are, then you change your life. You know, and that's a classic line, change your story, change your life. So that for me is the way to do long-term change. You really have to look at who you are and who you want to be. So look at the positives and take from the positives. And, you know, what we said at the top of the show was, you know, you can only run halfway into a field and then you're running out the other half. You know, at the moment, we're just over halfway through the month, so we're running out of the month and it's all downhill and sailing. So I think, you know, keep that perspective that look at your positives and learn from your positives. And remember, there's no such thing as failure. There is only learning. I would also say... don't compare yourself. I mean, this is a massive, massive issue that people have. And it's, you know, you stop judging yourself on perfection. Or others around you. Like, oh, they did it differently. They've gone longer than me. Because, you know, that can really sort of upset the car and upset the journey. And I'd also say, not a lot of people do this, and it's such a great tip. It's to zoom in, not out. So when you zoom out, you sort of look at everything around you and you become more of a perfectionist and like, how's it all going? But if you zoom in, you go in on the smaller stuff, you know, like, you know, what am I going to do today? You know, not what's it going to be like in 1 year's time? I mean, that's good to do that, but zoom in as well, and find, you know, what am I going to do today? I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to drink lots of water. I'm not going to drink. You know, that's how momentum, you know, comes about. You know, all successful goals are achieved by daily goals. They're not achieved by the big goal. They're the things you do on a daily basis. You know, and look at your progress. Better sleep. Might have lost some weight. You might have got, you might be calmer in your mentality, better choices in life. You'll be noticing stuff that is happening to you if you've stopped drinking for like 20 days. You really will. Or if you've done like 15 out of those 20 or 10 out of those 20, there will be differences that you notice. And that's really, really important.